Boy, I tell you, the Lord spoke something to me so powerful today. I tell you, it is life-changing what he said to me. That whole scripture, whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven. You know, you go binding the devil, you know. That's the keys of the kingdom, but it's a lot more than that, actually. It has a whole lot to do with the way that you operate in God. And what's setting up inside you. You bind that with earthly things. It'll get bound in heaven. So you have the power and been given the keys of the kingdom, and you, what you carry inside of you, if you attach it to earthly things, you'll bind it all up. It'll plug you up. Heaven will get bound, and heaven cannot do anything for you because it got bound upon the earth. It has a lot to do with the way you walk with God, how you operate in God, what you attach yourself, who you attach yourself to, what you attach yourself to, what you integrate with. What you entangle yourself to, you set your trust and your hope on earthly and worldly things, you'll bind up the entire kingdom of God up inside of you. It'll get bound. Heaven will get bound. But what you loose will be loosed in heaven. Heaven will loose. Boy, I did some loosing today. I got some untangling to do. Hallelujah. We have no idea how we can get integrated, entangled. Abraham was carrying the promise for all generations, and he bound that promise up with an Eleazar. He bound it up with an Ishmael. And he had to wait many years for that to get untangled, where God could loose heaven on his behalf. You got to be careful when you're given authority. When you're carrying great things, you can bind them up. Whatever you bind on the earth, while you're on the earth, you carry in the kingdom of God. You bind that stuff on the earth. Heaven gets bound. You wonder why heaven can't loose. Now we're going to get untangled. Be loosed. Be loosed. There's a good psalm for you. Psalm 37. Inheritance is mentioned 7 times in that psalm. So your heart is the epic center of all things. Heaven moves through you. Heaven plants in you. Holy Spirit lives there. The Word lives there. Jesus lives there. The Father. Everything lives up inside of you. You got to guard it with all diligence. You got to keep it with all diligence. And you can get plugged up just like that. You can get plugged up so easy. Decisions can plug you up. Words can plug you up. Actions can plug you up. Offense can plug you up. Little attitudes can plug you up. Taking the wrong turn can plug you up. Setting your affections and your trust in the world system will big time plug you up. You don't know you're doing it sometime. It's so easy to do. It takes some time, the Holy Ghost has to work with you to get you untangled. We get tangled up and we don't know why we're tangled up. You ever been that way? You're tangled but you don't know why you're tangled. Nothing's working. You're tangled up. Something's plugged up, but you don't always know what's plugging you up. God will unplug you, amen. Hallelujah. That's what one of the great benefits of keeping his word is. You keep his word, the two-edged sword is going to divide asunder what's in the way. If you keep it long enough, it's going to search the heart, find out what the problem is, and start dividing it asunder, getting it out of the way. And in case anybody don't think they have any issues, trust me, if you didn't, you would be a walking revival. Everybody's got something that needs to be removed. Amen. Something has to be divided. Some of you don't know. Some of it's not deep sin, darkness. Sometimes it's attaching yourself to something that's plugging you up. Soulish things. Amen. Hallelujah. Not my will, but thy will be done. See, that's the thing about carrying the kingdom of God. You don't get to choose how that's going to manifest. You don't get to go out there and find something and say, well, that's the way it's going to happen. That'll plug you up. Trust me, it'll plug you. You don't get to always choose that. See, it's going to happen this way. What you're doing is taking a promise, a kingdom promise, and setting it into the earth and say, this is how it's going to happen right here. And when you do, you just bound that thing to the earth, and it gets bound up in heaven. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. That's the Holy Ghost. We don't get to step on his toes like that. He's the one that gets to manifest. Amen. Go to Psalms 37. This psalm is really good. It helps you get unplugged. Amen. This psalm has more revelation in it to get us where we need to be, to get us positioned. Listen, there is a difference between blessing and inheritance. I'm going to tell you right now, the body of Christ is moving from a position of blessing to a position of inheritance. Hallelujah. I actually saw that in a vision. I was caught up. And I remember it was a really one of those intense, almost open visions. It was that powerful. I mean, and I was with the Lord. He was there. I was caught up and I was moving upwards. And I remember, and I got up above and I saw this city. And this city looked like about the New York skyline times four. And it was all golden. A lot of activity, lots of people, millions of people were all everywhere in the city. They were all around the streets and everything. I was so attracted to it. Then the Lord spoke to me. He was like right over here. He said, this is, he called it a room. I call it a city. Big one at that. He said, this is the room of my blessing. I mean, it was brilliantly bright. And he said to me, he said, this is where most of my people are right now that understand the blessing of the Lord and walk in. And he goes, most of them are partaking of this room right here. And I thought we were going to just explore that because it was so big. We kept going. And as we went up, it was like a cloud type barrier. And I remember we passed through this like cloud and ended up on top of this, looked like a mountain top with an ancient door. It was like a double ancient door. And it had a written across the top of it. It said room of inheritance. Opened that door and we walked in that room. It was all dark. National Treasure, everybody ever saw that? At the end when he lit it and it looked all the room. It's like that, but it was dark like that. You couldn't see. You could see things in there, but you really couldn't see. It was very dark. But you knew it was all there. You knew by revelation it was all there. And the first thing I thought, I didn't say it. This is one of the more profound visions I've had. And I thought, I said, why is it so dark in here? Because I was comparing it for what we saw. And immediately the Lord, he was kind of back over here somewhere. He spoke to me and he said, it's dark for two reasons. He said, the first reason is because most of what's in this room is in the present control of demonic principalities in the earth. He said, the second reason is because there's so very little light concerning this particular room. Because most of my people are in that other room. They don't understand this room because there's two different qualifications to operate. Most of the room of blessing operates by the gift that's upon your life. It'll operate by a talent upon your life. It'll operate by sowing and reaping. It has a lot to do with you. And it's a much easier room to approach. The room of inheritance actually should be easier. But there's certain things that we have to understand and learn about how to appropriate the inheritance of God, because the inheritance is in the right hand of God. Amen. But it has to be released into the earth. And this is what we've had to learn to do. How does a heavenly inheritance get released in the earth? Because the room of blessing, God's working with you here. And that blessing, that room of inheritance has to get downloaded. Amen. It has to be downloaded. And it's a very powerful room. And men in the Bible have received and accessed this room, and they've transformed generations because of it. And because of the nature of inheritance is different than blessing. Amen. And this is one of the things we're after. And just what I just spoke to you a minute ago is huge when it comes to operating inheritance, because the kingdom of God, he said, when you stand praying, you believe that you receive and then you shall have. Amen. When you receive, and to receive is one thing, to shall have is another thing. A lot of people see that as I believe that I receive it and I have it. No, it's two different things going on there. Kingdom of heaven's going to get transferred down to you first. It's going to come in the form of an inheritance. Many times it's going to come in the form of revelation. God's going to send his word. And it's compact with inheritance, and he's going to send it, and it's going to live and abide and dwell and be planted in your heart. Amen. And it's the way we operate with that word. It's the way we function with it. It's how we interact with it, to hear it, understand it, receive it. More importantly, keep it, because that word's going to have to remain in our heart for a season. And it's how we function with that. It's how you receive a heavenly deposit, a heavenly vision. When you receive that, it's what you do with it. Because, see, you have a soul. You have a soul. That soul can enjoy God, worship God. God uses your soul, operates with it, but it can get you in big trouble. You know? The Bible says that there in Galatians says Abraham had two sons. Had Isaac, son of promise, but he also had Ishmael. He was a son of the flesh. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, everybody has the capacity for two sons. You have the son of promise, which can only, the Bible said, it could only be born by promise. The son of the flesh can be born by flesh. It can be born what you can do. It's what man can do. It's man's replacement of God's best. It's the best of man instead. It's the works of man, the operations of man. We see it all the time. It's our ability to substitute a gospel of power, glory, and demonstration with a gospel of activity, programs, and works. And so it's more than that. It's the same thing. There's a friend of mine once had a revelation concerning this operation I'm talking about. He called it neutralized by good intentions. How does that work? Well, let's say that you're called. Carlos, come up here, brother. So let's say that you're called by God, and you've got this just incredible desire to operate the kingdom of God. Especially you got this drawing towards deaf people. You want to see deaf people healed, whole. Amen. Set them free. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. I mean, you get around deaf people, you just can't stand it. You got the heart. You got a grace for deaf people. Amen. So you start praying. You start seeking the Lord. You start worshiping God. You start carrying around a constitution, praying in tongues. You start just getting all entrenched up in the church. And I mean, you want to lay hands on every deaf person that comes along. Amen? But you haven't come into that anointing yet that just gets them pop, 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 pop. Amen? But you got the heart for it. So what happens, you're in a big church, you know, that has whole deaf sections. So you come up to Pastor LaRue that has that big church. Well, I wouldn't have a deaf section. So it'd be somebody else's church. Because our section would be all whole, amen? So you come up to somebody else's church. That's a big deaf section. And you said, you know, I really want to minister to them. So it's the first thing we do, because you haven't been advanced yet. Soul wants to kick in, the second son. You know, God wants to birth the Isaac. He wants to birth a mantle that's going to set him free every time you pray. But then there's another capacity. And because your heart's so given to it, you ask pastor and say, can I help? He said, yeah. So you go and learn sign language. You want to minister to him, right? And so now Carlos is head of the sign language section of the deaf section of the full gospel church. Right? Now it's God's perfect will for the whole deaf section to not be deaf anymore. That's his perfect will. His permissive will is for Carlos to stand there and do sign language. And so even during worship, you get the move and the groove going on. You know, and you're ministering to him. Right? Then you keep praying. Your heart's still not satisfied. See, it's going to win. Who's going to win? Is it going to be Isaac or is it going to be Ishmael? Because Ishmael, it's good to do that. It's a good work, but it's just not the perfect will of God. So he keeps praying. All of a sudden, Carlos, I mean, because he's a brilliant guy. He's a genius like me. He gets a revelation. And in this revelation, wow, God just gave me this download. I mean, I just got it. I got this down. I know I can create this device that's going to help him here. He spends his life creating, and he makes millions of dollars off of it. Carlos goes home to be with the Lord. He's fulfilled the will of God because he's helped millions and millions and millions of deaf people. He actually calls a partial hearing for them. Of course, you'd have to have been born in this century to be Carlos, because in the other century, you wouldn't have been able to create a device like that. But the century of knowledge allows human beings to do more of these kind of things. And so it's all good. Amen. And he gets before the Lord. And the Lord said, Carlos, I really, really appreciate everything you did for me, but it's all born out of you. There was another son, Carlos, But it would have required you birth this thing supernaturally. It would have not. It couldn't have originated through you. It just had to pass through you. You couldn't have done it. But it would have not only healed millions of dead people, but it would have changed generations and nations. But I forgive you and I love you. So enter into your rest. That's called neutralized by a good intention. Amen. An important time. A lot of preachers, they go after revival and they quit and they build something else because it's not an easy thing to do because it doesn't show up when they wanted them to show up. Amen. Because why? It had to birth by promise. God wants to birth by promise. It's not easy. It's so much easier to slide in there and do something than birth by promise. It's a lot easier to do that, to give somebody something to do. I'd rather just put my hands to something. Just give me something I can do. I ought to believe something and I have to believe something I cannot see. That's the hardest thing ever. To believe something you can't see. To move into the impossible and call the impossible into the earth. To do something way beyond anything you could ever done. To believe without seeing. To continue to believe without seeing. To continue to look. So the Lord was getting on my case about it because you can't take a heavenly vision and bind it to the earth. You can't do that. It's going to have to be done God's way. Your soul will take something God's given you and it'll bind it down into the earth. It'll wrap into something and then it'll wrap its trust. See, this is a heavenly vision. Man didn't give us this. Brad asked me the other day, he goes, you know anybody else preaching this front part? I said, no, it kind of scares me. Man didn't give this to us. God did. But it's so far beyond any of us. It has to be birthed by promise. It has to be birthed God's way. It is going to have to be done God's way. Its impact could change a nation, could change many nations. But it still has to be birthed. But here's what happens. You get going along, you're doing really good, and all of a sudden, you know, your spirit, Isaac, I see Isaac, this is Isaac, we're going to birth it. See, God told Abraham, your descendants are going to be the stars of the heavens, the sand of the seashore. That was not Abraham's responsibility. See, God always speaks way out in front of you. But all he wanted Abraham to do is birth an heir. But he's talking to him about millions of heirs. See, he's trying to get his faith out there where God lives. So Abraham goes, yeah, I'll birth an heir. You know the story. He gets Eliezer, his servant, and said, how about that? See, your soul will manufacture. Your soul will get involved to help God out a little bit. Let's do it this way, God. Abraham didn't get the luxury to choose. He tried to choose Eliezer to get an easy way out. That's what the soul does. It chooses something. It latches on to something. It anchors down to something. This is the way it's going to be done. And when you do, you bind this heavenly thing into earth. You bind it. What do you bind on the earth is going to get bound up in heaven. It won't release. No matter what you do, because we bound it. He had to get all that out of him. There was a lot there. Took him 25 years to get it out of him. Moses had the same thing. There was a deliverer inside of him. That deliverer rose up and took things by his own might. Got in the flesh and killed that Egyptian. God said, that's not going to do. 40 years for you, bro. It depends how much lives in us. Because that two son. Daddy, some of you heard me preach this a lot. It's tough to look into the unseen and not want to help God out. Not have something attached. Your soul wants to attach something that grounds it because it's social by nature. It's touch, feel, taste. I got to be grounded to something. I can't just be up in the clouds. It feels good to just attach to something and say, this is the way it can happen. Well, you don't know the danger of that. Is you can take something heavenly and bind it to the earth. And when you do that, it stops the whole process. So you can see. Sometimes you don't know you're doing it. Most of the time, you don't know you're doing it. Because you don't have the ability to discern what's soul, what's spirit. Until God can cut asunder. Amen? It takes something greater than us to cut asunder. Oh, I'm in there just repenting away. Oh, God, get me straightened out again. Let me see it again. Look, the devil came to the Lord. The Lord knew he was going to do it. He tried to cut a deal with him. The Lord knew he's going to bring a brand new covenant. He's going to be heir to a brand new race of people. The devil said, I'll give it all to you. I'll give it all to you. Everything you're doing, I'll give it to you. Just bow down and worship me and you can have all you want. We can't step on the Holy Spirit's toes and get into his line of things. Because in reality, any one of us knows exactly what the next move of God's going to really look like. Much more, we're going to have to be trained to do it. Operating, the Holy Ghost is the one that's going to manifest. We can't go stepping up in his line of things. Especially when operating in inheritance. Because inheritance is going to do some very big things. That's what the nature of inheritance is. Amen? So, Psalm 37. The good thing is we don't quit. The second thing, if you'll keep his word, you're going to unleash a power source that's going to move mountains out of the way. So the enemy wants to do is take the power of God off the gospel. See, it's to remove the power off of it. Make it a show instead. But that's not going to shift a nation. It's not going to change this nation. It's not going to shift this city. Amen. Psalm 37. A psalm of David. Very, very important fundamentals of this chapter. Every part of this chapter, he's given you very important fundamental components of operating in inheritance. Amen. It said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither that be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, so fret not. You're not going to be able to birth anything in the kingdom of God walking around fretting all the time. You're going to have to find peace. You're going to have to find the rest of God. You're going to have to move into a position of rest and a position of peace. Without that, in fact, you want to know about the peace, just scroll on down to the very bottom. Verse 37, mark the perfect man or the mature man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You want to know what perfection looks like in the kingdom of God? Peace. Peace. Amen. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Peace, internal peace. Peace in the home, the environment of peace, the atmosphere of rest and peace. Fretting will never birth anything in the kingdom of God, because the fretting is the operation of the soul that will refuse us to sit still. So it refuses to sit still. Fretting. See, that operation has to be brought into stillness. He said, verse 3, trust. Say, trust in the Lord. Now, we all do that, right? Trust in the Lord. I'll just tell you this. Your mind cannot define whether you trust in the Lord or not. Because everybody in this church, if I ask you to raise your hand, do you trust in the Lord? Everybody be start shouting and dancing. Of course I trust in the Lord. You know, Lord, every time I get in trouble, I trust you to get me out of trouble. Just let me go on about my business all the other times. Lord, I trust you with this problem. I trust you with this situation. Lord, when I get in a problem, I trust you. Everybody trusts the Lord when they're in a problem. Trust in the Lord is shifting your dependency completely on him. It's a very uncomfortable place to be. It's a very uncomfortable place to be. Say, trust in the Lord. Because you can't trust in something else. You're going to find yourself being defined, redefined, and defined, and redefined again. Calibrated, aligned, realigned, and recalibrated. Because you're constantly going to give opportunities to put your trust in something else. Because it's going to present itself and say, this is the way. Follow me. Setting your trust into something of the earth will bind the promises of God. It'll lock heaven up. And it'll lock you up if you're a carrier. If you're a birther. Glory to God. Say trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. It's constantly placing our trust in Him. That's a hard thing to do. I'd rather trust in something I can do. I'd rather trust. I'd rather put something, I can put my hands or trust in something or somebody, someone. Whose report will you believe? Will you believe a scripture or you believe a circumstance? To getting that trust aligned. See, to carry the promise must constantly be aligned into that promise. Don't get the luxury of taking the alignment out and putting it on something else. But the soul, because you live with it, because it's inside you, will constantly want you to put it on something else. And it's a war that goes on inside of you. Soul wants you attached to something you can feel, touch, taste. Something that gives me access, and the soul will bind that thing into the earth if you don't watch it. It's a lot easier to say you trust in the Lord than actually do it. Amen. Here's another one. So fret not, trust. How about delight? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. How many of us actually do that? We do it in service. Of course we do it. Of course we delight ourselves during praise and worship. But how many of you delight yourself when you wake up on Monday morning and you want to go out somewhere you don't want to be at? You got to get up and do something you don't want to do. You got to wake up. And you got to go in there. And face life. And delight yourself in the Lord. When you're in the midst of pitiful circumstances. Just pitiful. When you're in a circumstance you don't like, which is a lot of them. How many of you ever find a lot of circumstances you don't like? And you got to delight. It's not natural to delight when you're in a backward circumstance. It's not nice to go, ha, 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 ha. Or, oh, hallelujah. Tayana and I, we've gone through some things. We just go, oh, hallelujah. We got something going on, some trial we're in. Oh, hallelujah. And inside, there's nothing in you that wants to say any of that. It's not delighting when everything feels good. It's not delighting when you're on the mountain. It's delighting when nothing's working. When nothing's happening. Where you don't want to be, where you be. You have to find joy. You have to be happy. Delight yourself. This is not a very people very happy because it's not the world's not a very happy place. You have to fight to keep delight. You have to constantly stay with the Lord to be delighted in the Lord. You have to fight to stay in that place. Keep your emotions from dragging you down. Let emotions run wild and they'll take you straight to the bottom. And then they'll start kicking you. Your emotions will get down there. They'll take you down, down, down. You can't afford to let your emotions rule your life. Especially if you're prone to it. This world system is not prone to make you a happy person. You got battles all the time. You got situations, circumstances that are constantly 100% contrary to what God has said about you, to what God's saying in you, to what you're carrying on the inside. It's a hard thing to carry someone inside everything all the time. It's completely 100% opposite. You got to stay happy. You got to stay in love. You got to trust in the Lord. You can't be fretting about. You have to be trained for that. That didn't come natural. Holy Ghost going to have to train you. You're going to be an inheritor of the earth. You can't jump on every train that rolls by. Every circumstance, I think I'll ride that train. Here comes another circumstance where I think I'll ride that one. They'll take you straight down. You can't ride on somebody else's train either. If you don't get on somebody's train, get somebody's going on the mountain of God. I found the right place tonight. I'm preaching good. You're going to have to get on that train and stay on. Get around people that know the Lord. That when backward circumstances, they're smiling. When they said, how you doing? Blessed, highly favored the Lord. Thank you for asking. Delight yourself. There ain't nobody going to do that for you. Delight yourself in the Lord. David, men wanted to stone him. David, men wanted to stone him. His wives and children were taken from him. City burned to the ground. Oh, reason God let that city be burned to the ground because it wasn't his inheritance and God knew he was trying to camp there. Hey, look, when you're in the wilderness, you'll camp anywhere. Just give me some place to comfort. I'll camp. I don't care about mountaintops. Don't even talk to me about that stuff. I got my Ziklag and that's all I want. I'm going to live here the rest of my days. God said, not happening. Burn it. Men wanted to stone him. He grabbed the ephod and started worshiping God in front of everybody. And I mean, he turned that battle around. He come up into that. He got the anointing of God upon him. He said, let's go now. 600 men, 200 couldn't even make the journey. They were so weary and beat up. You sure you want to walk with some anointed person? It ain't always easy. 200 couldn't even make the journey to go to the battlefield. Boy, they had such a mighty, powerful deliverance that day. That set him up to be crowned in Mount Hebron. That was his city of inheritance. Oh, this is a good one, number 5. Ready? Read. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Roll your way upon the Lord. You know what that means? It doesn't mean, Lord, here's my plan. I commit it to you. Now bless my plan. This is the way I know you're going to do it. This is the way it's going to happen. Bless it. No. Take what you think and roll it upon God. If it comes back to you, it's yours. If it don't, it's not him. You got to roll your way out. You roll it on the Lord. Say, God, is this you? Then I'll spend the next 5 years in my faith upon something that's not going to happen. I roll this upon you. I got to know. Is it soul or is it spirit? Is it Ishmael or is it Isaac? I roll it upon you. I'm tired of wasting time. I'm tired of being mispositioned and misaligned. You see, you attach yourself to something you don't know. You can be 2 years, 3 years, 4 years on something. You latch on, you just know that's the way it's going to happen. Your soul will convince you of it. You can bind heavenly things down. You can bind them up. Bind heaven up. Where heaven can't even operate, can't fulfill the promise if it wants to because you got bound into the earth. Roll it upon the Lord. Constantly roll it upon the Lord. Roll it upon the Lord. Commit thy way. Roll your way. Trust also in him, and then he'll bring it to pass. See, he's going to bring it to pass. Notice who's bringing it to pass. He didn't say we would bring it to pass. He said he would bring it to pass. There's a big difference there. We like to attach ourselves to things that we think it's going to come to pass. Generally, when God brings it to pass, it doesn't even look anything like you thought it was going to look like. Amen? He'll bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Oh, this is a big one right here. This one's huge. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. But we have to learn to rest in the Lord. You must find a resting place in the Lord where you can roll your burden upon him, where you can take off the heaviness and move. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What's he say? Makes me lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside still waters. I have to learn to rest in the Lord. Amen. It's a huge one. It says, he that entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. It's not just resting and laying down in the presence of God. Resting in the Lord is the ceasing. See, he gets you to the place you got to cease from all your own stuff now. So you get to a place in God, you don't get to add your stuff to it. In the early days, you get to add your stuff to it. You ever notice that? When you get into the high places of God, you don't get to add nothing. You have to cease from all your stuff. And you have to have something distinguishing between you and what's God and what's not. And you got to cease from all your own works. You don't cease from works, you cease from your own. We were preaching this 5 years ago. I thought I had it 5 years ago. I thought I really had it. I preached rest for a whole year. I was just in the beginning stages of it. There's a problem with A-type personalities. They got a very strong soul. A-type personalities like to get her done. I mean, you like to get things done. When you have an A-type personality, it's a good thing to have, but it's got to get tempered with God. You got to get that thing tempered. Here's a good thing. When grace comes on an A-type personality, they can get such lots of stuff done very fast. Bam, 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 bam. Then when the grace lifts, they want to keep rolling in that. Hey, you know, I've done it many times. God will give you a sign and that grace will be on you. Just full blast. The grace will start lifting, but you're not ready to pull the reins back. A-type personalities love to run. They love to run wide open. That's the way they are. See, God's got a way he's going to get it done. He's going to have to fold us up into that plan. Roll us up like an enchilada. You got to roll up in there. It's going to have to be his way. It's going to be Yahweh. But we're going to get it right. When it does, it don't matter when. It doesn't matter, because as soon as we get it right, the power is going to come out of that place. It's going to get more stuff done so fast, so quick, that all of our personalities combined could have never done what he's about to do. That's what he told me. He said, what I'm about to give you, what I'm about to unload. He said, but I do require that you get this right. I do require certain things. It's non-negotiables when it comes to heaven. God loves you unconditionally, but you start walking in the glory. There are a lot of conditions on the glory. As far as God loving you and salvation, oh, it's totally unconditional. As far as God walking in glory, it's very conditional. Walking in fullness, full manifestation, full 100-fold, it's completely 100% conditional. In fact, you got to be trained for it. Amen. Rest, wait patiently. We've been there already, done that. Amen. Fret not thyself because him who prosper in his way. Have you ever seen that? Somebody's rolling and you're not. You ever had this? When is my turn? You better be happy if someone gets out of the gate in front of you. You start judging them, you'll get put in the very back of the line. You thought you were already in the back of the line. He'll find another line for you to get in the back of. You can't be upset about somebody else getting blessed and think you're going to be next. You better say, thank you, Lord, for blessing them. Thank you, Lord. Bless them more, Lord. I have some people in our lifetime that have just took a knife, stuck it in us, and took five more and stuck it in us. And they're so blessed. And you just hear about their blessings all the time. And you just grit your teeth. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. You better get happy about somebody else's blessing. Because I can assure you, when you get blessed, there's going to be a lot of people who are not happy about it. You might as well be happy when somebody else gets blessed. Hey, listen, by the way, when you get blessed, not everybody is happy as you are about it. Trust me. They might act like they are, but they're not. Be genuinely happy when someone is mighty blessed. Amen. Because you might be the next one in line for the favor of God to fall on them. Amen. Be happy with blessed people. Get around blessed people. Might rub off on you. Get around best people. They might rub off on you. They might have something on them that you might need. But I'm spiritual. They ain't got an anointing like me, that's for sure. You ever seen somebody bless? First thing you start doing, comparing you that way, they ain't got the kind of anointing I got. Bow that pride down, get close to them, and let some of that stuff get on you. Amen. Be happy. You might be next in line. You get an attitude, you're definitely going to the end of the line. Amen. Be as happy for them as you're going to be happy for you when it comes your time. Amen. Should be thankful. Somebody's got the favor of God on them. Amen. The real key is, can you bless the ones that have persecuted you? They don't deserve that. Do you have any idea who I am, God? Did you see what they did to me? They don't deserve that. Difference is, they're not operating in what they deserve. They may have just caught an anointing by grace. You do know God blesses people way apart from what they deserve. He blessed you, doesn't he? Think of all the times you got blessed when you know you didn't deserve it. You think you got to wait to get, do you deserve it? Then we don't understand the kingdom of grace, do we? The kingdom of grace is going to give us what we don't deserve. And trust me, when we think we deserve it, you just need to go around the throne of grace. Get around the judgment seat of Christ and you'll find out real quick. There aren't none of us deserving of any of his grace. It's free gift. The better thing to do is learn how to freely receive right where you're at. If he would save you right where you're at, he'll bless you right where you're at. Amen. I freely receive. I'm learning to just receive. Freely receive. Just get in receiving mode. Freely receive. They that receive the abundance of grace. He'll say, well, he'll put it on me. You got to receive it. Amen. I know that's good. Okay, here we go. Verse 9. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now, when he says wait upon the Lord, he meant wait without fretting, with delighting, committing yourself to the Lord, trusting in the Lord, resting in the Lord. You wait like that. It's how you wait. Everybody's going to wait. Anybody ever had to wait on the Lord? Raise your hand. Oh, it's a better thing. If you've not had to wait on the Lord, raise your hand. Yeah, hurry up and wait. So it's not about waiting on the Lord, because there's nobody in here that hasn't had to wait on the Lord. It's how you wait. Determines whether you're going to be an inheritor. If just waiting alone, every one of us would be an inheritor. It's not just waiting. It's how you wait. Do you wait unthankful? Do you wait fretting? Do you wait moaning and groaning, complaining? It's how you are waiting. You're going to have to constantly adjust and readjust. Get you a Holy Ghost chiropractor. You got to wait with a good attitude. When someone jumps out in front of you and they get blessed, you got to wait. Be happy. Be thankful. Roll your works upon the Lord. When it's not working for you, get in there and roll it upon the Lord. Roll it out and say, all right, Lord, what is it? What needs to be adjusted? Delight yourself. Wait with all of those components. Then you'll inherit the earth. First time he said inherit. Verse 11, the meek. Ooh, the meek. Oh, Mike, there's going to be meekness involved. Ouch. That's not walking around like this. Meekness is a lifestyle. It's the absence of pride. Meek shall inherit the earth. Gentleness shall delight and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Wow, so there's meekness and peace. There's rest. There's delight. There's trust. Not fretting about. There's all these components to an inheritor. Verse 18. Again, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. You're going to have to walk uprightly. That's the third time. Verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. They that be cursed to him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and delighteth in his way. He delighteth in God's way. You're going to have to find the ways of God. We are going to have to find how God does this. How does God do this? That's what I want to know. That's my whole life. Putting this together, now I want to say, how do we get this in the earth? We have to delight in God's way, that's for certain. Amen? Our steps are ordered. The words are lamp to our feet, the light to our path. We're being ordered in the Lord, but constantly following him. Amen? Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Verse 31, the law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. It can't be sliding all the time. We cannot slide constantly and think we're going to be inheriting the earth. You can't just slip and slide. You're going to have to stay somewhere. And that means you're going to have to stay somewhere and you're going to have to do it with joy. And you're going to have to do it with the delight. And you're going to have to do it with trusting in him. You have to do it by resting in him. You're going to do it by constantly rolling and aligning and realigning. You have to wait patiently upon him and keeping his way. Amen? And we're not going to be sliding about back. Verse 34, very powerful. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way. The ways we've been talking about tonight. Keep his way. Amen? Let God readjust you. Let God realign you. If you're overly frustrated, you need an adjustment. Trust me. If it's not working for you, you need an adjustment. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. That's what we want. We want our promised land. There's nobody in here shouldn't desire exaltation. It's the way we go about getting it. There's a lot of things you're going to have to go through to be an inheritor. Because to be an inheritor, God's going to put a whole lot in your hands. He's going to put a lot of power in your hands. He's going to put a lot of wealth in your hands. He's going to put a lot of influence in your hands. God's going to give you the pen of the Lord. He's going to put something in your hands. Power. Amen. Mark the perfect man. Verse 37. Behold the upright, for his end is peace. Father, align us. Keep us aligned to your vision. Help us loose what we've bound. Lord, I'm asking you tonight, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, a knowledge of Christ to show us any area where our soul is presently binding your kingdom to the earth. What we bind on the earth is going to get bound in heaven. Show us, Lord, any area. Open the eyes of our understanding. Grant us an experience, an encounter. Grant us wisdom. Grant us light. Open the eyes of our understanding that we may remove the yokes that bind us to the earth. That we remove the yokes of our soul. That we remove those chains. I sever those chains. We call every chain to be severed. Every yoke that we have bound to the earth and not knowing. Abraham did it so freely, he had no idea that he was about to birth an entire nation that would be at war with Isaac. For even this day, they're at war. Just a decision of the flesh. Help us, Lord. Stay aligned to your purpose. Take our hands off the promises to set our heart to keep it. With all diligence, help us see, help us carry your promises without yoking them into the earth. Help us carry them to fruition, Lord. Help us carry this into fruition. Help us, Lord. Grant us freedom. Grant us light. Help us keep your way, Father. Grant us alignment. Grant our hearts alignment.